Right, Genesis 31. Jacob is an interesting biography, a number of reasons. He's got ups and downs and twists and turns. He's surely got a number of children. He's also got a number of wives with that, and a lot of turmoil at home. And we come to chapter 31, he's ready to move on again. Verse 1, Genesis 31. Now, Jacob heard the words of Laban's sons, saying, Jacob has taken away all that was our father's. And from what was our father's, he has acquired all this wealth. And Jacob saw the countenance of Laban, and indeed it was not favorable toward him as before. Then the Lord said to Jacob, return to the land of your fathers and to your kindred, and I will be with you. So Jacob sent and called Rachel and Leah to the field to his flock, and said to them, I see your father's countenance, that it is not favorable toward me as before, but the God of my father has been with me. And you know that with all my might I have served your father. Yet your father has deceived me and changed my wages 10 times, but God did not allow him to hurt me. If he said thus, the speckled shall be your wages, then all the flocks bore speckled. And if he said thus, the streaked shall be your wages, then all the flocks bore streaked. So God has taken away the livestock of your father and given them to me. And it happened at the time when the flocks conceived that I lifted my eyes and saw in a dream, and behold, the rams which leaped upon the flocks were streaked, speckled, and gray spotted. And the angel of God spoke to me in a dream, saying, Jacob, and he said, and I said, here I am. And he said, lift your eyes now and see all the rams which leap on the flocks are streaked, speckled, and gray spotted, for I have seen all that Laban is doing to you. I am the God of Bethel, where you anointed the pillar and where you made a vow to me. Now arise, get out of this land, and return to the land of your kindred. And Rachel and Leah answered and said to him, is there still any portion or inheritance for us in our father's house? Are we not considered strangers by him? For he has sold us and also completely consumed our money. For all these riches which God has taken from our father are really ours and our children's. Now then, whatever God has said to you, do it. Then Jacob rose and set his sons and his wives on camels. And he carried away all his livestock and all his possessions which he had gained, his acquired livestock which he had gained in Paddan Aram, to go to his father Isaac in the land of Canaan. Let's pray. Lord, we're grateful for the lessons we see here of your great providence, care. You're the same God today. Lord, you weren't more powerful then and more loyal to your people and more loving. You're the same. Lord, you have covenanted with us in Christ to do us good, and you do. And we thank you, Lord, that you always keep your covenant, that you're a covenant-keeping God. And men may break their covenants, but that you never do. And so, Lord, we pray for the lessons of this passage to be ours, not just in our heads, but in our hearts. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. As a child, we know, and as we deal with children, they don't like to wait for something they want to do. If a child wants to do something, now is the time to do it. If a child would like to go to the store and get some candy, now is the time. To say we'll go after lunch, no, that's not now. If a child is watching a television show that they like and they have to be called and take a shower or get ready to go somewhere, no, it's not now. So in essence, a child wants to do what he wants to do right now. And I say a child, but we never get over that ourselves. Who doesn't want right now what we would like to have right now? When you pray and you're sick, do you pray, Lord, I need your help with this sickness, but not now. Delay it a while. Lord, next week make me well. I have a financial problem, Lord. I need money, but I don't want it right now. I want it like next month. Now is when we want it. It would really be foolish to not want now what we desire, although we're wise enough as we get older, hopefully, to know that we can't have that now all the time. But if we don't have it now, it means we have to wait. And that's the problem. We know how hard it is to wait because we have proverbs in the world, sayings, good things come to those who wait, because we have to wait a lot. I don't hear people saying that at the DMV, standing in line, or usually in a waiting room like I was in yesterday, waiting. You're not seemingly getting any good things in that. The Bible says we should wait on the Lord. Waiting on the Lord is probably the best characterization of good waiting that there is, because if the Lord has not moved to give you now what you want, then by waiting on the Lord, you know that you're waiting on He who is wisest and most powerful, could give it to you right now if He felt it was the right thing to do, but He's chosen not to. We've seen in Genesis where there's been barrenness in Rachel, and it was years before it was answered, that prayer. And in Isaac, with Rebecca, it was years before that was solved by the Lord. And we could go on and on how the Lord makes us wait, and how we don't like it, how it's a trial, how it's a unwelcome trial. The Bible talks about hope deferred makes the heart sick. So if you have a hope and you have to wait, deferred means wait. If you have to wait for your hope, it makes the heart sick. I wanted that now. Can't have it now. Well, Jacob, in the last chapter, chapter 30, began to do what he did in this chapter, but he stopped. In the last chapter, he approached Laban, and he said to Laban, let me leave. Verse 26 of chapter 30. Pick up verse 25. It came to pass when Rachel had borne Joseph that Jacob said to Laban, send me away that I may go to my own place and my country. That's the method of chapter 30. In chapter 30, Jacob is ready, after 14 years of service, to go on to Canaan, to go back to Isaac. And so he goes to Laban, according to the courtesy of the time, and it's his children and grandchildren he is born. And so he says to Laban, let me go. Don't hinder me. Don't stop me. I'm ready to go back to my own country, to my own place. Give me my wives and my children for whom I have served you, and let me go. For you know my service which I have done for you. So he's asking to go with his family, his wives, and his children. But Laban says, well, I don't want you to go. It's not because I love you, son-in-law, and I love my children, and I love my grandchildren. It's because He knows that the Lord has blessed him, Laban, because of Jacob. And he knows this, he said, by divination. Experience there is not the best word to translate that we see in the New King James. He had divined what it was that was making him so wealthy and increasing his flocks. And, you know, this is something people who are in the occult want to do. What am I doing now that's causing this blessing? I want to keep doing it. So he found out through divination, which is an occult practice, and it's a forbidden practice. He came to the conclusion that the Lord had blessed Laban because of Jacob. So he says, you got to stay. Just tell me what you want. I'll give it to you. And Jacob said, I don't want you to give me anything. If I stay, I want to earn my own. I want to earn my own money. I want to earn my own increase. And so they had this thing where he said, I'll take all the speckled and the spotted and the streaked, and you can have all the solid colors. I'm just summarizing that. It's not exactly. I mean, he had various things with goats and sheep. And so you keep those. You keep the solids, and I'll keep the non-solids. And so Laban says, great. And then Laban took all the non-solids and walked 3 days away with them to keep them from mingling with the solids and giving Jacob any produce from it, any livestock, any increase. So as far as Laban was concerned, he had set this thing up to continue to benefit from Jacob's labor while not paying him anything for it. Keeping all the sheep and goats and all, it's going to be all solid. Take those other crowd way over there and don't get them near this other. But it didn't work out that way. Jacob, through some tricky maneuvers, and we still don't know how that worked or if it worked. But the principle of it was, the belief was that if a cow saw a striped pole when it was mating, it would bear a striped calf, kind of thing. And I don't know that there's any proof of that anywhere. So, but it turned out that's what happened. And so we would have to say the Lord overcame whatever superstition there was in that. And so in the end of this chapter 30, by these means that are mentioned, and by the Lord overriding the natural laws of this, really, it says in verse 43, the man Jacob became exceedingly prosperous and had large flocks, female and male servants, and camels and donkeys. So he got loaded when he shouldn't have. There was no reason for his prosperity other than the Lord. And Laban was not smart enough to, after divining that the Lord was helping because of Jacob, to treat Jacob right. I got to treat you right, son, because the Lord is blessing me. Because you, what can I do for you? Let me get you a hammock over here. Get you some pillows, fluffy thing. I mean, what can I do for you? And so he tried to cheat him still. And in explaining his decision to move on to his wives, he said that Laban had changed his wages 10 times. And he went 6 years on this agreement that they made in chapter 30. So over 6 years, as Laban saw that the cattle were coming forth, or the livestock was coming forth speckled or spotted, he would say, well, let's make a new deal. We'll go now that you get the solid ones, and I'll get the speckled ones. And so every time he did that, the Lord thwarted that. The Lord made it not work for Laban. And so Laban, as we get to verse 1, his sons, Laban's sons, are saying, Jacob has taken away all that was our father's, and from what was our father's, he has acquired all this wealth. Now, I'm guessing when they said that, they didn't quite know how that happened. But they were observing that Jacob had done something to steal, in their minds, all that was Laban's. And so now the sons are looking at their inheritance, and they're going, we ain't got nothing neither. And now they're upset. and their demeanor toward Jacob from being a benefactor is now he's an enemy. Jacob, verse 2, saw the countenance of Laban, and indeed it was not favorable toward him as before. Now, what we know of Laban, I could see Laban killing Jacob. I mean, this kind of man that is all about commerce, he's about gaining increase for himself. He's an idolater. He's in the occult. He's not a godly man. He cares more about business than he does his children and grandchildren, his son-in-law, surely. I could see him doing harm to Jacob. Jacob noted to Rachel and Leah that the Lord kept Laban from doing harm to him. But he didn't say that Laban kept himself from that. Laban would have done that. Laban would have just struck out and taken care of him. You know, Laban's the mafia. I mean, he doesn't care. You got in his way, he'll get you out of the way. He's all about money. He's losing his money. And when that verse 2 is understood, that is no longer favorable as before, then the Lord said to Jacob, return to the land of your fathers and to your kindred, and I will be with you. Now, Jacob wanted to do that back in the last chapter, 6 years previously. And he didn't. It wasn't the Lord's time. Why wasn't it the Lord's time? Because in chapter 30, all he had, as I said, was his children. Let me take my children and go back. After 6 years, he's got his children. He's got male and female servants, camels and donkeys, large flocks, and became very prosperous. That's why he had to wait. Did he want to wait? I doubt it. He saw an opportunity when he had the favor of Laban and how Laban saw that he was benefiting him. But he wanted to go. It was time to go back. But he didn't go. It wasn't the Lord's timing, and we know now why. That the Lord wanted first to make Jacob prosperous. And he did. We see that. He was so prosperous, he was the envy of the sons of Laban, and they were mad at him, and Jacob felt in danger. So he calls Leah and Rachel out to the field where they can have a private conversation. They're away from the houses, and he calls them out in the field to tell them what it is he is considering and why. And he talks about how their father is surly toward them. Not that word that's used. His countenance is not the same as it used to be. He's surly. He's angry. He sees Jacob now as not a benefactor, but as a thief. So there's a problem, and that problem is as much tension as Jacob has had at home. Now he's got the in-laws or outlaws problem that are going after him. And so he says, verse 6, I've done well. I've worked with all my might to serve your father. And your father's deceived me, changed my wages 10 times. But God did not allow him to hurt me. If he said the speckled shall be your wages, all the flocks bore speckled. If he said thus, the streaked shall be your wages, all the flocks bore streaked. You know, Laban had to be just about crazy after all this. Because he kept changing. Wait a minute. Remember your friend you used to like race with or flip a coin or do something and you would win? They said, 2 out of 3. I mean, let's change the rules. We didn't say that. And you race somewhere and you race that tree down there and you get to the tree and you're first, but they were first back at the bush. Well, I'm back at the bush. They're changing the rules. So Laban was trying to check this onslaught that had rolled over him because Jacob is dispossessing Laban of his flocks. Remember, Jacob made sure the weak ones were Laban's and the strong ones were his. That much is a bit scientific. So Laban's trying to catch up. But God kept making it what he wanted it to be for Jacob. Verse 9, so God has taken away the livestock of your father and given them to me. And now Laban's saying, why did I not let him go 6 years ago? I lost my children. He didn't care about them anyway. He'd have all his flocks. But the Lord had a plan. Verse 10, it happened at the time when the flocks conceived. I lifted my eyes and saw in a dream, and behold, the rams which leaped upon the flocks were streaked, speckled, and gray spotted. The angel of God spoke to me in a dream, saying, Jacob, and I said, here I am. He said, lift your eyes now and see all the rams which leap on the flocks are streaked, speckled, and gray spotted, for I have seen all that Laban is doing to you. So he says, he saw a vision showing that all the ones that were mating with the livestock were streaked, speckled, and gray spotted. And so the Lord was showing him that that's what was going to be produced. He says, I'm the God of Bethel. Remember, he met God at Bethel on the way to Laban, where you anointed the pillar and where you made a vow to me. Now arise, get out of this land and return to the land of your kindred. So now Jacob is given to Rachel and Leah the situation. And then Rachel and Leah answered and said to him, is there still any portion or inheritance for us in our father's house? There's no reason for us to stay around as far as money matters. He doesn't have anything else. He's been emptied out. Are we not considered strangers by him? For he has sold us and also completely consumed our money. For all these riches which God has taken from our father are really ours and our children's. Now then, whatever God has said to you, do it. And so he loads up his sons and his wives on camels. And off they go. Now this is going to be a big wagon train. He has an abundance of livestock. And his whole house now is quite large. So he heads out with all that is his. Verse 19. Now Laban had gone to shear his sheep, and Rachel had stolen the household idols that were her father's. That's a weird thing. I think it's not necessarily saying that Rachel was an idolater. I think there must have been some kind of family's prestige to these idols that she hoped would go to her husband instead of to her father. The whole thing is really, maybe it seemed like a good thing to do at the time. But Jacob didn't know that. Jacob, verse 20, stole away unknown to Laban the Syrian, and he did not tell him that he intended to flee. Now, he told him the last time. He told him the last time, and he said, no, please don't, because he had favor. I'm going to go now. Oh, no. This time, if he had said, I'm going to go now, he'd have just killed him, I think, if he could have, if the Lord would have let him. And he wouldn't have let him. He would have stopped him because he had all his livestock. So he just took off. And it was on the third day, verse 22, that he found out. So verse 21 tells us that he arose and crossed the river, and that'd be the Euphrates, and headed toward the mountains of Gilead. That'd be, down southeast of Israel. So he's heading out and away. And maybe he was heading at a very rapid pace, as much as he could for a size of train of this size. So Laban finds out about it on the third day. And, third day, today's Wednesday. This would be the third day from Monday. Monday would be the first day. Tuesday would be the second day. Wednesday would be the third day. Jesus rose on the third day. He was crucified on Friday in the grave on Saturday and rose on Sunday. So third day, you know, is a couple of days away. So he finds out that Jacob had fled. He took his brethren with him, verse 23, pursued him for 7 days' journey, and he overtook him in the mountains of Gilead. So Jacob had to be trucking it pretty hard to go from where he was all the way to the mountains of Gilead, and requiring 7 days of riding by, you know, a much smaller group that Laban had. So he comes on him. But God, again, is protecting Jacob, verse 24. God had come to Laban the Syrian in a dream by night and said to him, "Be careful that you speak to Jacob, neither good nor bad." We would say, you know, shut your mouth when you get there. I mean, don't even talk. Just, the intention, of course, he's going to talk, but he's not making any threats. He's not making any promises. He's not going to say, if you come back, I'll give you this. He's not going to say, I'm going to kill you if you don't come back. Don't say anything good or bad. Just leave him alone. So, verse 25, Laban overtook Jacob. Now, Jacob had pitched his tent in the mountains, and Laban with his brethren pitched in the mountains of Gilead. Laban said to Jacob, "What have you done that you have stolen away unknown to me and carried away my daughters like captives taken with the sword?" I believe what Laban's view of reality was at this time was that all of this was done against his daughter's will. Because how could they have left such a nice man like me, such a great father as I am, unless it had been coerced? And we already know that he had talked to Rachel and Leah, and they said, "Let's get out of here. Our father doesn't care for us." So he said, "Why'd you do that? Why'd you steal them away like they're captives?" Verse 27, "Why did you flee away secretly and steal away from me and not tell me? For I might have sent you away with joy and songs, with timbrel and harp." Now that's political speak. What he means by that is that I might have put you in the grave right there when you told me. You were going to throw a party. "And you did not allow me to kiss my sons and my daughters." Now this is a guilt trip. That's what people do at a guilt trip. You make me so sad. I can't even eat. I can't eat. Oh, I'm so sorry. This is a guilt trip. "Now you have done foolishly in so doing. It is in my power to do you harm." See, that's what he wanted to do. "But the God of your father spoke to me last night, saying, 'Be careful that you speak to Jacob neither good nor bad.' And now you have surely gone because you greatly long for your father's house. But why did you steal my gods?" So he said, "I understand the one thing you wanted to get home, but why did you take my gods?" We saw them all in India. They're idols in all the stores. They've got a little corner up there in the store above the cash register. Or not a cash register, it's where they take the money in the counter up there. They got little gods up there in the corner. And they're all over the place. All in India is gods everywhere. And the belief is that they will bring prosperity. They'll bring fertility to your family. Your wives will bear children. Your fields will bear crops. And so to have them is your key to prosperity, and people grow to love them and to depend upon them in some way. And in some cases, they're status symbols. If you're the keeper of the gods, well, then you're the head honcho. So Laban now is saying, "Where are my gods?" That's the thing about a false god. You can carry them anywhere. You have to stand them up. You have to nail them to the wall. You have to make them a little place where they don't fall down, don't totter, because they're not gods. They're just objects. Laban doesn't see it that way. "So why'd you take my gods? And what am I supposed to do now? You understand you're going back to your family, but why'd you steal my gods?" And Jacob didn't know anything about it. Jacob answered and said to Laban, "Because I was afraid, for I said, perhaps you would take your daughters from me by force." That's what I would have thought. "With whomever you find your gods, do not let him live. In the presence of our brethren, identify what I have of yours and take it with you." For Jacob did not know that Rachel had stolen them. Laban went to Jacob's tent, to Leah's tent, to the two maids' tents, but he did not find them. He went out of Leah's tent and entered Rachel's tent. Remember I said before, they all had a home, they all had a tent. They were, since he had all these wives now, they had their places. And Rachel had taken the household idols, put them in the camel's saddle, and sat on them. And Laban searched all about the tent, but did not find them. And she said to her father, "Let it not displease my lord that I cannot rise before you, for the manner of women is with me." And he searched, but did not find the household idols. So Rachel came up with an excuse, which wasn't true, why she couldn't rise, because it was that time of the month. And so she was going to sit there. And he said, okay. Jacob was angry, rebuked Laban, and Jacob answered and said to Laban, "What is my trespass? What is my sin that you have so hotly pursued me?" You see, Jacob, once he didn't find anything, Jacob's got the upper hand. Jacob still didn't know that Rachel took the idols. And so he said, "Although you've searched all my things, what part of your household things have you found? Set it here before my brethren and your brethren that they may judge between us both. These 20 years I have been with you, your ewes and your female goats have not miscarried their young, and I have not eaten the rams of your flock. That which was torn by beast I did not bring to you, I bore the loss of it. You required it from my hand, whether stolen by day or stolen by night. There I was. In the day the drought consumed me, and the frost by night, and my sleep departed from my eyes. Thus I have been in your house 20 years. I served you 14 years for your two daughters, and 6 years for your flock. And you have changed my wages 10 times. Unless the God of my father, the God of Abraham, and the fear of Isaac had been with me, surely now you would have sent me away empty-handed. God has seen my affliction and the labor of my hands and rebuked you last night," when he told him to don't do anything. And Laban answered and said to Jacob, "These daughters are my daughters, and these children are my children, and this flock is my flock. All that you see is mine. But what can I do this day to these my daughters or to their children whom they have borne? Now therefore come, let us make a covenant, you and I, and let it be as a witness between you and me." Now Laban's a bit pathetic. He says, okay, you've got all these things, but and all these children and my daughters, and but they're mine. That's mine. I'm going to, on the way home tonight, ride by a pretty big house. I think it's got 11 bedrooms in it. It's got a nice gate around, nice yard. I don't think the gate's working anymore. It's one of these motorized power gates you can talk to when you pull up. It's a nice house. It's got a swimming pool in the back. It's got a theater in there for watching movies. A theater on the side that I'm going by. So you can sit in there and sit and watch a movie in that house. Kitchen's nice. Granite. When I go by there tonight, I'm going to say, that's my house. So what good is that going to do me? It's not my house. Here's Laban still trying to be the man. So is mine, but I'm not, what can I do? Let's make a covenant. Let's make an oath. So Jacob took a stone, verse 45. And set up as a pillar. And Jacob said to his brethren, "Gather stones." They took stones and made a heap, and they ate there on the heap. Laban called it Jigar Sahadutha, Aramaic apparently. Jacob called it Galeed. It means a heap of witness, a stone heap of witness or something. And one part of it, the latter part in Hebrew, means it's a watchtower. So it's a witness, but they're not going to hurt each other. That this covenant's going to be carried forward. So Laban said, "This heap is a witness between you and me this day." Therefore, his name was called Galeed. Also Mizpah, because he said, "May the Lord watch between you and me when we are absent one from another." So Mizpah part is watch. It's a watchtower. If you afflict my daughters, or if you take other wives besides my daughters, although no man is with us, see, God is witness between you and me. And here's, this is blustering Laban. Laban said to Jacob, here is the heap, and there is the pillar, which I have placed between you and me. The heap is a witness, and this pillar is a witness, that I will not pass beyond this heap to you, and you will not pass beyond this heap and this pillar to me for harm. The God of Abraham, the God of Nahor, and the God of their father, judge between us. And Jacob swore by the fear of his father, Isaac. I think Laban tried to steer a little bit to the God of Nahor. That was his relatives. That was, you know, on Abraham's side, on his relatives. Then Jacob offered a sacrifice on the mountain and called his brethren to eat bread. And they ate bread and stayed all night on the mountain. And early in the morning, Laban arose and kissed his sons and daughters and blessed them. Then Laban departed and returned to his place. Crisis aborted. I mean, he's not out of trouble yet. There's the next chapter. So Jacob leaves the employment of Laban. It gives us a lesson in God's providence for us. That when God makes us wait, maybe it's to give us 6 years to accomplish some prosperous path. Because if he'd have gone like children want to go, as soon as he wanted to go back in chapter 30, he would have gone away empty except for his children, his wives. But by waiting until the Lord's time, he went away prosperous. Because the Lord's timing is best. Any comments or thoughts you have?